Hey everybody, welcome again to the Six Ways from Sunday podcast. Six Ways from Sunday is an online faith community exploring how we think, love, and act in the world. And it's part of a new project called Rising Spirit Ministry, which is a three-way partnership between this new online community, the Pinocchio United Church, and the Basha United Church. I'm your host, Ben Wilson, and each week I'll be sitting down with Robin King or other guests, and we'll be exploring different topics of faith over a cup of coffee. Robin is our minister at the Pinocchio United Church and in Basha, and he alternates back and forth between the two churches each Sunday. So we live stream that service at 10:30 a.m. Mountain Time every week, and if you'd ever like to join us, please do any Sunday. You can watch or listen from home or wherever you're at. You can find that live stream, as well as archived services and sermon video clips, at risingspiritministry.com or by finding our Rising Spirit Ministry channel on YouTube. So today I've got Robin joining me again, and we've got a really interesting conversation in store for you. Today we sat down over a cup of coffee and talked about prayer. Welcome to another Conversation Over Coffee with Robin. Robin is here with me today to talk about prayer. So this is a really interesting topic to me, and there's so many different directions that we could go with this, Robin. But
we're going all of them, Ben.
We're going to go everywhere?
Yeah, we're going everywhere.
We'll do our best.
Okay. You know, I thought we should talk about prayer because in our congregations, this is Camping Sunday coming up.
So what
I know what
mean?
You're thinking. What does that have to do with prayer? I don't like camping. I think camping's important. But frankly, if you were to tell me I'm taking you camping, my first thought would be, oh, God, help me. And that just reminded me that, you know, when we prayer is such a hard thing for people to talk about. People are always asking, well, how do I don't know how to pray. I'm having trouble. I have trouble with that. I have trouble with praying. You know, how do I do that? And by the way, in my office, I have a book, you know, those For Dummies series of books and things.
Yeah.
There's a Prayer for Dummies.
Really?
It's like an inch and a half thick. That's how much they got out of it. But basically all it does is tell you this is where the tradition comes from and this is how people do stuff.
Right.
That's kind of what we're going to talk about.
You mean it doesn't tell you the right way to pray, Robin?
No, it does not, because there is no right way, Ben. there's simply many ways. But this is where, coming back to the camping thing, I was thinking about that and I was thinking, you know, for one of the things is for people, so many people in our faith tradition, the baseline for prayer is the Lord's Prayer or the Prayer of Jesus or however you refer to it, right? And we know while there are many newer versions of it, some of which are brilliant, by the way, we learned from memory, many of us, the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thine, like that
yeah.
that
well,
version,
I'm old
right?
enough that we learned that at school. Like, obviously, it's not taught in schools anymore, but when I was in, like, grade one, we were saying the Lord's Prayer in school.
It's often not taught in a lot of Sunday schools now, and a lot of people regret that because it's the communal act of prayer as part of church, right? And for many people still, that makes it the sort of the baseline for prayer. It's the beginning of prayer. It's the root of prayer, right? For many people, which it isn't, of course, because we prayed long before that, right? Long before that disciple said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus said those words, and bearing in mind, of course, too, that it doesn't really, and there's big debate about this, it doesn't really say that Jesus said, when you pray, always use these words.
Mm.
It kind of says, Jesus said, pray like this. And then he goes into the
so he could have meant pray
so he could have meant,
this
here's
intention.
An idea. Here's pray with this intention. Here's some suggestions about here's some suggestions for language, but you know don't need to stick to that. But here's maybe an order if you're looking to formalize it a little bit. And that's great. It's great. It's super. But that for many people still, their reluctance to pray or their feeling that they don't pray well, it's because they think that it, you know, there's a certain technique or a certain way or a certain words you need to use. And I just, here's the point at which I would just like to remind everybody that the Lord's Prayer is not the first prayer. The first prayer is when you wake up in the morning and you either say, thank you, God, for this wonderful day, or God help me.
how am I going to get through this day?
Whichever one of those you wake up with, and believe me, it was actually kind of hard for me to make sure that I had the thank you one first, because there's lots of days when you want to wake up with the God help me. But those are prayers.
Yeah, it being a prayer, it doesn't mean it has to be, you know, I'm going to open up the prayer with these words and I'm going to be on my knees. It's right. Like just thinking it, and or just having that thought of, oh, here we go, here's another day, or oh,
right. You're going to struggle with, if you're a religious person, and I'm using the word religious consciously there, if you're a religious person, you're going to struggle with prayer probably because you think there's a form and structure, there's a time for it, there's a place for it, there's a way to do it, and maybe you're not sure what that is, or you don't think you're good at it, or anything like that. If you're not a religious person, you're going to struggle with prayer probably because it's called prayer. And you think that's a religious thing. But essentially, see, I think we're praying all the time, right?
Yeah.
I think that it's like thinking. Like your mind is working all the time, right? You're thinking all the time, you're having thoughts all the time. Sometimes you're talking to yourself, sometimes you're hearing other things, you know, you're walking down the street and a song pops into your head. Right?
Right.
And then it gets stuck there for the rest of the day. But like your mind's always doing that, right? And see, I think that prayer is like that a little bit, because we're always connected to God. God's in us. God's in the world around us. Yeah. God is the thing that connects us. So it makes sense to me that we're always connected to God. But we're not always focusing our connection. Right.
So is that what you would define prayer as? Is that it's
our connection to God?
No, the focused connection that you talk about. Like yes, we're always connected to God, but is prayer in the sense of like I'm praying now and versus right now I'm not praying is whether you're focusing on it or not?
No. And yes. No, yes, no. Wait. See, this is a problem I think everybody has that, right? The moment you say prayer is a focused thing, you negate what I just said about how we're always connected with God, because God knows what's in your heart, right? In fact, I think Romans, maybe. There's a verse in Romans about sighs. The Spirit is a sighs too deep for words, and the Spirit is what helps us pray. God knows what's in our heart, that kind of thing, right? If that's the case, then God knows what's in your heart all the time, not just when you're focused in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that means I am literally praying all the time.
Right.
Will there be times when I want to focus that in different ways? Absolutely. And that's maybe when it's a good time to remind people that that we need to do that, right? Well, you might say grace before a meal, or you might pray before you go to sleep. So you set aside a time for it. You set aside a time to focus and talk to God for a minute.
You make it intentional.
Right? You're making it intentional. If we don't do that, quite often we can really easily fall into that, well, I'm praying all the time, I don't need to worry about it.
And then realize that you've gone through
losing
a whole day and you haven't really
connected
to that intentionality.
Yeah, but then you're kind of losing something. Yes, you're losing that. And that's not just a question of being intentional in what you are sharing with God. It's also about setting aside the time for it, to connect. Like if we're always connected, but I've forgotten the name of the person now, but you and I were talking earlier, and you were talking about somebody who suggested that it's kind of like electricity.
Pam Grout,
okay. And that the idea is that the electricity's there. You don't go to plug something in thinking to yourself, ooh, gosh, do I deserve this power? I sure hope I deserve this power. And then you plug the thing in, and it works, so you must have deserved it. It's there, and it's available to you. Period.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's a really cool way of saying that, because I think we're connected to God all the time. It's just a question of whether or not we have like flicked the switch or plugged the thing in order to focus it, right? And I believe that intentional focusing of ourselves is a really good thing. Is there only one way to do that? No. There isn't. Particularly if you're somebody who's religious, well, even if you're not, you have the perception that there is.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we pray communally. We have the Lord's Prayer, which we share together, right? We don't, when we gather as a faith community, one of the things that we will more often than not do is the Lord's Prayer together. We'll also have other prayers that we do together. Those prayers may come from a book, or they might have been written by the minister on the day, for the day, but we then have an idea that there is a structure and a form and a language.
Even if it's not communal, we have that perception. So if
that's something, what we take away from it, though, is that we right. then think that we have that.
So if something bad happens and you have someone who's an atheist or agnostic or just don't consider themselves to be religious, maybe they don't even consider themselves to be spiritual, and they say, oh, I don't pray, but I'm sending you my thoughts. And they say that as though it's something totally different, but is it? or is that prayer?
And there's so many, I think what we're doing here is we're opening a lot of doors and hoping that people, something will spark somebody's, an idea in somebody and that they'll respond. And because I think one of the most important things about sharing the idea of prayer is that there are so many different ways to do it and to share it, and that we might share those ideas.
Oh,
right?
For sure. Yeah, for people listening to this, we would love for people to engage, respond, and I think probably the best place to do that is on the Six Ways from Sunday Facebook page is a great place to come and be part of that discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there are so many different ways, and we, like I said, we have this idea that there's a structure and a form and certain words and all that kind of thing. And then, of course, because we do that in church, we've created an artificial standard of what's a good prayer and what's not, right? But no, no, not at all. Yes, if you want structure and form to, absolutely. Like I'll tell you right now, every single Sunday, our community prayer, and we call it that, the community prayer, it goes like this. It starts with thanks. It moves to intercession.
Which is?
It asking for God's help with things, or God's support with things, or that God, in fact, would strengthen our own hands to do it.
Right.
Those kind of things. And then there's a moment that we ask, we invite people in the congregation, if there are specific things that they'd like to share with the community, there's a moment for that. And then there's a moment we invite people to pray themselves.
In silence.
Just in silence.
Yeah.
I think we say it as the things in our own hearts, right?
Yeah.
And then we share the Lord's Prayer.
To wrap it up. Yeah.
And every Sunday, the words are always different, except for the Lord's. Well, even the Lord's Prayer, sometimes we use a different version of it, right? The words are always different for the first two pieces. The part that invites you to share your own concerns or celebrations
is
always the same in order to invite people. Those parts will be different. Invitation is the same.
What people say.
Right. And then the invitation to pray yourself, quietly yourself, again, that's kind of the same, hoping that everyone will do it differently. And then we move into the Lord's Prayer part, right? And great. As a community, it has structure and form. The words will change, but it has structure and form because we are sharing it as a community. It's a communal act. Although, having said that, let me say that I know people, one in particular, who I've had a conversation with around the Lord's Prayer, who is very much bothered by the fact that the Lord's Prayer never says please. And so when she says the Lord's Prayer, even in a community context, she throws the word please in several times. And great, good for you. To me, that's kind of like, you know, when we sing a hymn, and you may or may not like the language of the hymn, like we've changed many of them, right, to be more less gender specific, right, and more correct, politically correct. That's such a bad way of saying that, but you know what I mean.
You talking about hymns where we'll not use he for God,
right?
Like making.
But you know what, or father, or any of those sort of traditional languages. Yeah. So we've rewritten them a little bit. If you know the old version and that's the version that means something to you, please, by all means, go ahead and sing it. The fact that you're not singing exactly the same word in exactly the same moment as the person next to you, so what?
Yeah,
the communal act is still happening.
Yeah.
And that's the point of doing it, is that it's a communal act, right? And that's great. So there's one form of prayer.
Communal.
Communal.
And there's power in doing
right.
it together.
And there's power in sharing that together. Yeah. There's power in sharing the same words together. There's power in sharing, having different people share different words in the context of it together. There's absolutely.
And naturally, it makes sense for it to have structure, for it to have routine,
right.
for it to become tradition.
Right.
So talk to us about prayer outside of that communal sense.
Yeah. So just because we do that as a community doesn't mean that you have to do it that way privately.
Of course.
It doesn't mean that that's the only way to talk to God. And that's the thing about prayer, is from my perspective, I think prayer is about talking with God. It's about having a conversation with God. It's about engaging. It's about fully engaging your relationship with God to the point where you're literally having a conversation, right? And in order to do that, you can do that a whole bunch of different ways. You may do it with words. You may consciously in your head be thinking words, but you might not. There are many people who pray in music, right? Although you could then also argue that music is a language in its own way, right? But many people pray that with music. Many people pray simply by going for a walk in the woods and connecting with nature because God is in nature, and so that's part of their way of praying. It's whatever it is that helps focus that constant connection with God mm-hmm. into a moment of something unique, something different.
So let me ask you something, Robin. If we think of prayer as conversation with God, and that's, I think, probably the most widely kind of viewed way of looking at it, right? A lot of people, I think, would struggle if they're, you know what, I really want to strengthen I really want to start praying more or something, but if you're looking at it as a conversation, for a lot of people, it might feel like this one-sided conversation where, why do I never hear God's voice in response? So I'm asking for things, I'm giving thanks, I'm talking to God, I'm looking for God to give me some direction. He's not talking back, right? That age-old struggle of longing to hear God's voice, longing for some direction, longing for answers. For some people who prayer is about, I want answers or I want to hear God's voice. I want to feel God's presence. Prayer can be difficult.
Absolutely. Let me first say in response to that, do you know who hates my voice more than anyone else and thinks that I just don't use ever the best words or say things the best possible way? Me.
Of course.
And there, I guarantee there's like so many people who feel that way, right? And so there's problem number one. But that's not what the problem really is. The problem really is that you think that God is going to respond to you the way that you speak to God because God's just like you. Just because we're created in the image of God, You can't flip that and say God is created in the image of me. So obviously when I talk to God, God must talk back to me the same way.
In the English language.
Thrown a few these and thous, of course, but because it's God. That's not how God speaks. And that's why I think it's so important to remember that way that we share in prayer communally with words and things isn't the only way. There are so many other ways that we do that. I have tried this, and it's not really. I like it, but it doesn't really work for me a whole lot. But there are people who their sense of prayer is that they simply wander out on a nature trail somewhere and engage nature, and that's their way of praying with God. And of course, they then might interpret God as speaking to them through nature, right?
Right. In the basement of the Bashi United Church, we have painted on the floor
a labyrinth, yeah,
but isn't it called a mandala or something, or
the mandala is the thing mandala. That's at the back, that's at the back of the church on the wall, the thing that's the circle,
right,
with the different themes and things in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
but this practice,
but it's nature.
Of walking,
yeah,
this path,
yeah,
that forms this circle of like, it looks like a, yeah, it looks like a labyrinth. It is a labyrinth, but it's I don't know where that tradition comes came from originally, but it's one of many ways that people,
yes,
can get into that state of kind of quieting their mind, You could call it meditation, but just finding the stillness. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's, I mean, there are a variety of, and this is the thing, right? There's a variety of practices. And our religious practice as a community is to do it a certain way, right? Although there are other ways that we could explore that. But traditionally, that's our practice. But as an individual, and take that sort of religion structure piece off of it, there are a variety of different practices that would allow you to focus your communication with God, right? And so for some people, it's a walk in amongst nature. For others, it might be music. There certainly have been any number of famous composers who've said that God speaks to them in music. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. It's God speaking to them in music. Same with authors too. God, they get ideas, and for some of them, it's like the muse, or it's God, or it's that's where all of that comes from. But for other people, it might be things like even yoga is. And I know I'm like treading on thin ice there with some people because yoga is a practice that's specific to a religion, but it isn't anymore, is it? It isn't. I mean, no. Now it's got goats in it now. So it can't be specific to religion anymore. But it is a way of focusing, right? It's a way of quieting yourself and connecting spiritually. And there are other things. There's a wonderful thing called praying in color, which essentially this lady had this wonderful idea. I've forgotten her name now, sorry. She had this wonderful idea that instead of having to worry about words and structure and form, what you do is you doodle, and you can color in your doodles and stuff. And while you're doing that, you just like let your, it's not like a focused art thing. It's you just let your hand wander around the page and then you color it out however you're moved. While you're doing that, you hold up a person or a thing or an idea. That's your prayer. You don't have to worry about the words. You just, like, if it's a person, you might think about the person or a moment that you had with that person. You might...
You're not necessarily attaching language to it.
Yeah, you're just kind of holding that person up.
It's a little bit like, a few years ago, coloring for adult, like adult coloring books became super popular because it helped people to kind of just relax and calm their mind. And while you're doing it, then you're sitting, I like that concept that you could just be creating an intention of, like, whether it's thinking about someone who's struggling or, you know, a tragedy that happened, and just sending light and love to those people.
And to me, when we talk about praying, quote unquote, you just use the magic word, intention. I think we're connected to God all the time. God doesn't just know what's in your heart in those moments when you say, hey, God, it's me. God knows what's in your heart all the time because God is in there. God is the thing that connects all our hearts, that connects all of, that's what God is. But the moment you become intentional about it, however you do that, take a moment to relax or meditate or focus, whatever language, there's the language thing, right? Whatever language you use around that. The moment you become intentional about it is the moment that you are praying, sharing with God. And maybe sharing prayer with God is a better way of saying that than saying conversation. Or maybe conversation is better. I don't know which.
Whatever speaks
works
to you, right?
For you. Yeah. And that's just it. It needs to be whatever speaks to you so that you can speak to God.
Yeah.
Maybe you won't find that instantly. Maybe you need to try a few things. Maybe you need to try some words. Maybe you need to try some things, some practices. But do, because that means that you're taking a moment out of your day, and there's a bazillion things going on in your day, to actually just focus on your connection to that thing, that source, that being, whatever it is that connects all of us.
I really like how yoga has that focus, and it just made me think of that as you were describing that I've done yoga with following quite a few different instructors, like through YouTube videos or DVDs or some actual classes as well. And one thing that it is totally universal through any yoga that I've ever done is they always talk about as soon as you step on that mat, it's like you're here to focus on just your breath, reconnecting to your true inner self and to your true nature. And that time is for you to unplug from everything else in your day. So no matter what else was going on in the day, just find that stillness come back to your breath, come back to being inside your body. Like,
yes,
we get so distracted.
Right. Right. And you see why. I'm just going to throw one more thing in here at the end, because, you know, you should always end with something explosive. But I just also want to say, though, that yes to that, because a really important thing that we often lose sight of with prayer is, you know, and it's become so obvious lately, and people are now talking about it, is that we'll say something will happen, and we'll say our thoughts and prayers are with you, or something like that, right? Or we're praying for you. And that's happened with a few major tragedies recently, where people have said that. And please don't misunderstand that. That is absolutely 100% awesome. That's great. But there's also a point at which, quite rightly, some of those people have said, that's not enough. It's not enough to simply say, now is a time for prayer. It's not a time for action. Because that is precisely what prayer can help you with. Right? It can, when you take that moment to connect with God and share that moment of prayer, that might actually inspire you to remember that Jesus was about love in action. Right? There is something you can do. Whether that is something that you do directly because you're like right there and you're able to, your neighbor loses somebody in their family, you can take them a casserole, for crying out loud, right? Or mow their lawn or do something for them, right? You can do that, right? When it's a tragedy that happens halfway around the world, we're often felt thinking, oh, all I can do is pray.
Or donate money.
It's not. You can. Yes, you can donate money. That's another thing you can do. You might also be able to participate in that from a distance. You might. But you also might find that what that inspires in terms of action to you is something that you can do locally. One of the things that came out of the Humboldt tragedy was the number of people who were inspired to become organ donors. Now that didn't help things
for that
in that in, that yeah, that instant.
It didn't change
right?
things for
it
that
didn't change
family.
It. But that makes a difference to the world.
Absolutely.
Right?
Which does make a difference to that family.
And that exactly, right? So it may not be something that you can do that connects directly, but the thing about prayer is offering your prayers and your thoughts isn't just an act of support of other people. It's an act of inspiring you to action that is supportive of other people as well.
Yeah.
Don't let it just be some words.
Yeah. Cool. That's a great place to end it. And one thing I just wanted to add as we close this off is on the Six Ways from Sunday website, so sixwaysfromsunday.ca, we actually have a really cool resource related to prayer and related to being intentional about prayer that's really great for kids. We put together a little resource called like a do-it-yourself prayer box, I think is what we called it, where you can take any like a shoebox or any kind of box, and you can do this with your kids where you decorate the lid, decorate the box itself, write prayer box on it, whatever, however you want to do that that's meaningful for your child. And then you just fill the box with like recipe cards or just cut up pieces of paper and a pencil. And then so for kids who are either worrying or feeling stressful or feeling anxious or just have concerns, like all kids do, you can get them into a practice of handing those concerns and worries over to God and trying to help them just kind of release those things.
Cool.
And but by making a practice around it and making it an intentional act, there's power in that, just like we talked about. So check that out on sixwaysfromsunday.ca. And thanks for joining us today. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Great discussion as always. Thanks.